Hello. What's up, everybody? You're listening to an episode of the Semi-Pro Poker Show, the inaugural episode, actually. My name is Curtis Umstead, and I am going to be the host for this show and, in all likelihood, every show from beginning until we end, and hopefully never end, but until we end. This is the Semi-Pro Poker Show. This is a show that is going to be chronicalizing a journey from being a recreational player that takes the game seriously, leading up all the way into becoming a professional poker player, professional no-limit cash game player. This is a big undertaking that I'm going with here. This is something I've kind of had in the works for a while now, and I wanted to do something different in terms of chronicalizing it. What a lot of people do is they'll use popular poker websites or poker forums, start their own thread, and chronicle whatever goal they might be doing, whether it's becoming a professional, whether they're already a professional and they want to make a certain amount of money or put in a certain amount of hours, whatever that goal is. Even if they're just starting out and they just want to learn more about the game, they'll post updates and people respond and all of that. And then you have training sites that discuss content or strategy, I should say. And I wanted to do something different. I wanted to do a podcast and week to week discuss my progress until we reach our goal. And we are going to reach that goal. And you're going to take the ride with me, I hope. At least that's the point. So let me tell you a little bit about myself for those of you that do not know me. My name is Curtis Umstead, and I am a recreational poker player slash life liver. I'm in the process of trying to figure out life, so I don't even know what to really call myself, to be quite honest with you. I'm a mid-20s guy who lives in Norfolk, Virginia. If anybody knows where that is, it's on the East Coast near Virginia Beach. It's the more popular place that's more well-known around these parts. But I'm originally from Atlanta, Georgia, and that's where I really got into poker, I should say. Really, since I was young, I was always into the adventure sense of the world. You know, when I first got into video games, the biggest game that I put most of my time into, probably over my lifetime, at least series, is the Legend of Zelda series. And the reason I bring that up is because that game is all revolved around adventure. It's all around discovering and going beyond what you know is out there, not fearing what lies ahead, but taking the journey until you reach your end, until you reach your goal. And looking back on it, that should have been a sign that that's my personality. And I didn't really know a lot about myself until this past year, but we'll get to that in a minute. But I've always liked that sense of adventure. And you can kind of relate that to what poker is. It's really the last Wild West style approach of living. You know, some people say that the last cowboys in America are professional poker players, the last ones really alive, you know, the last real outlaws of the Wild West, although not really outlaws, of course. But yeah, that sense of adventure is something that I kind of relate to me discovering poker, along with my slight competitive drive that I do have. It's not really something that's very outward about, I should say, but it's definitely there. And it wasn't really until around high school that I really decided to get into it. My dad used to watch the World Series of Poker a lot, and to be quite honest, I always hated watching it, because one, I had no fucking clue what was going on. I had no idea. And I always wanted him to change the channel. But ironically, in high school, I got invited out to a friend of mine's to play like a 5-cent, 10-cent cash game. You know, I didn't even know what that meant back then. I don't even know what the hell blinds were, but you can tell now what kind of a small buy-in that was. It was like a $5 buy-in and $5 to $10. That's all you were really gambling. And after that, it really just slowly started to take over. Then I got into a game with a lot of my close friends from back in high school who I'm still friends with today, who we would play. I mean, we'd get out of school, even on like weekdays sometimes, but on the weekends, we'd start on a Friday night at 7, 8 o'clock, and we wouldn't get out until 8, 9 a.m. the next day. I mean, we'd be putting in long, long, long sessions. And I was a terrible player back then. Let me reiterate that. I was terrible. And I was terrible for a while, to be quite honest with you. I wanted to play more and more and more, but I didn't really know about the materials, nor really that how much strategy was really in the game. I thought people who were just aggressive were just good, even if they were loose aggressive. It was really a natural knit the whole time, so I was probably pushed off a lot of hands when I was starting off my poker career. So I wasn't like a massive loser because I was a knit, but I was definitely a consistent loser, consistent small loser for sure, and probably was that way for a few years, maybe until about my freshman year of college. That's when I really discovered that poker books even existed, and the first books I ever got were the Harrington books on Hold'em, which those are classics. Anybody who's ever wondered or ever wanted to read a poker book and asked for my recommendation on where they should start in terms of tournaments, I always recommend those. They're classics. But yeah, I finally got those, and I'd bring those to the game with me. Like, what the hell was I even bringing those with me for? To show off that I had poker books? Everybody else had poker books, or at least some of the other my friends did. So it was just slight signs that it was really starting to take hold. And so I'd be in the middle of class, and my freshman and sophomore year at college, which were a breeze, I went to Kennesaw State my first 2 years, and that's all I would think about was, when am I going to go play next? Or when can I go back to this book? Or when can I go onto the 2+2 forums and post about a hand I played? Or when's the next game? You know, I was just always really ready to get back to the table and get back to what I really liked to do. And then, of course, one of my good friends introduced me to online poker, and wasn't a winner. I was really break even, maybe a slight loser. But right as I started, I didn't realize just how much of a difference online poker was. But this was late 2010, and then I finally started to get a little better at it. My win rate started to come back up, and then Black Friday happened, and online poker was gone, just like that. But that was really the turning point. I started to get a little better at online poker, and that was just my turning point to realize that I could actually win at this game. I started actually to win just a little bit. And then I moved to Louisville, Kentucky to finish my schooling at the University of Louisville. And I have always had a big sports background throughout my life, at least in terms of viewership. And I'd always wanted to go to Louisville since I was a kid. And sure enough, there's a casino 20 minutes away from my dorm where I lived my junior and senior year. So as you could tell, as soon as I turned 21, I spent a lot of time there. But that's where I really started to get lots of hours in. I started to get a lot better at live poker specifically, and started to realize just how beatable and how poor people really played. I mean, it's common knowledge to a lot of people now, but in case you don't know, live poker is really it's still pretty awesome to play in terms of making good money. If you're putting in 20, 30 hours a week like I was in college, playing 1-2 no limit at the casino at the Horseshoe Southern Indiana, I made over $20 an hour playing 25 an hours a week. So my last semester of school, I didn't even have to work. My old job wanted me back, but I didn't even want to fucking work. I just wanted to go to the casino all the time and just play. So again, another step where I realized this is a really well-paying job. I've put lots of effort into it, but not that much, and I was already beating the game for close to $20 an hour over a solid few hundred hours, which is not the biggest sample size in the world, but it's not the smallest either. Some people think they're a winner after they win one game, but this was over the course of 30, 40 sessions, and I was showing a modest profit. And it was then that I discovered podcasts, poker podcasts, and that just changed my life forever. I even started one of my own in the end of 2013 called the Whale Fishing Poker Podcast, which I didn't know what I was doing, and I was kind of honestly going along the style that other poker podcasts went, and that's what I meant at the beginning of this show, where I said I wanted to do something different. I'm going to end up discussing hands that I play and concepts that I learn and lots of things you may have heard in other podcasts, but more than that, I'm talking about my transition from going to a serious player to a professional player and what it really takes, what it can do to your life, what changes happens to your mental state, to your financial swings, to just what how it affects your life in a whole different capacity. I mean, there are so many awesome things about it. And I have quite a few friends who are professionals, and some of the common things that I've heard, it's awesome, obviously, having no boss. You don't have to worry about someone looking over your shoulder in terms of work that you have to do. You don't have clientels that you have to sell. You don't have, or products, I mean, to sell to clientels. You don't have a schedule that you have to abide by in terms of waking up at 7 in the morning and making sure you're at work by 9. You don't have to dress up. You know, you can live the life that you want. You can take vacation when you want. You can really do whatever the hell you want to do. I mean, what job in today's society is that really a viable option? Especially when you go and get your degree for whatever field you want, generally there are guidelines that you have to abide by. And that's what I mean when I said that poker's the last, you know, outlaws, cowboy style of games, that it's really up to you. You do what you want. You go where you want. And that sense of freedom really is unmatched, other than very few professions. And I'm sure some of those professions are very high paying as well. And there's no doubt that live poker, especially live poker cash games, if you get good at that particular game, you can make lots of money and pretty much live a much less lower stress, in the long run, I should say, lower stress job and lifestyle than a lot of people that you will know. And that is definitely something that is enticing to me because I have done the corporate style work. I've done the internships, the year-long ones, where I was pushing papers and I was doing lots of entry-level work, putting in lots and lots and lots of hours, and I absolutely hated it. There were some benefits that came with it. It was at an athletic club, so I was able to use it. I was able to get a nice membership at a nice facility for free, and also made some good connections, and I made a lot of lifelong friends, including some that I've played poker with, ironically, that I'll keep for the rest of my life. But at the same time, I put in so many hours. It was so insanely stressful. I already had a relationship that I was having to put a lot of time into because of some distance, literal distance between where my girlfriend was living and where I was living. So all of that combined with a super stressful job, it didn't really add up too well. And not to mention, after a year of working and nothing happened in terms of promotion or in terms of career development, I just said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to get out of Atlanta. I'm going to find myself. I hit that mode that I didn't know what the hell I wanted to do. I'd gotten my sport administration bachelor's degree from the University of Louisville. And after I graduated, I had absolutely zero idea what I wanted to do with my life. Generally, you're supposed to go through that phase when you're in your first or second year of college. But I hit that after I graduated, and that was probably the worst case scenario of what could have happened. I would have liked to have known that before I'd started my major, let alone graduated, but that's okay. I finally realized what that phrase really means. When someone says, I need to go find myself, generally I don't think people know what the hell they're talking about, but in my case, I didn't know what I wanted to do for careers prospects. I wasn't sure I wanted to commit myself to poker. I was a little scared. I'm a very conservative person in regards to taking chances. Despite that adventure desire, adventure style of life, the desire for that style of life, I should say, I'm a very conservative person. Sometimes in order to commit to something so life-changingly huge, along with the repercussions of what people could potentially judge of you by taking such a ludicrous chance like that, I'm a little hesitant to do things like that. It's just my nature, and I try and fight it all the time. But it wasn't until recently that I was able to finally figure that out. I spent the entire 2015, other than playing part-time, I was working a shitty job my first year here in Virginia, who I moved in with my girlfriend who was in the Navy. And I had a connection at a university here in their athletic department that didn't go through, despite my best intentions. I worked a super shitty job for a year, and I entered 2016 with pretty much nothing to show for all the hard work that I had put in over the last 5 years since I'd entered college and graduated. I had not much to show for it. So I had a real sit-down moment with myself for a couple of weeks, and I really had to sit down with myself and figure out what the hell it was that I wanted. And for the longest time, I realized with that sense of adventure, with that sense of competitiveness, with my natural skill set that I'm good at poker, and the fact that I love the game and I'm willing to work on my game and do study and really put in the time to get better, I said, you know what? I'm 25 years old. I have my whole life ahead of me. If there's something else that I'm supposed to do, then damn it, it will come eventually. But now, if this is what I'm supposed to do, then I'm going to give my all to it. I'm going to give it a chance. So that's what I'm doing with this podcast, the Semi-Pro Poker Show. Right now, I could consider myself a semi-professional in the fact that I put in a fair amount of hours per week. The fact that during my downtime, if I'm not working on my personal life, I got dogs, I got my relationship, I got friends. A lot of the time I'm generally working on my game, whether it's posting in forums, whether it's watching training videos, whether it's reading books, which I have a lot of them. If anybody ever wants to see my collection, just let me know and I can send you a picture because it's quite extensive. You know, and it's what I'm doing on my off time. I'm balancing it out with this, with a good personal life, and I'm definitely happy with the way I am now. But I realized that I think this is what I was meant to do. I think that this is my calling. And I said, you know what? Let's just do it for once in my life. Let's go with a job that I know is high paying, that I know that I'm good at, and that I have the mental fortitude to deal with the things that come with it, the downswings. I didn't even get into the cons of professional poker. There are downswings, financial downswings. There are times where you're sitting sedentary for hours on end in terms of a week. You're sitting at a table and you're playing a game. The game part is cool, but you're sitting for a while. I'm not a very sedentary person. I like to have an active lifestyle. I've come from an athletic background. I like to be in shape. I like to be moving. So that is a conflict of interest with my natural being. I hate the idea of sitting in a cubicle for 8 hours a day. So that's how I know the corporate life is for me. But at the same time, you're sitting there playing cards for 8 hours. You're at a table. So that is a con. Along with the financial downswings, which will happen. The downswings in terms of losses, in terms of times you're going to sit at a table and lose, are going to happen. No matter what you do, no matter how well you play, you could play your perfect game the rest of your life, and there are going to be downswings, and you can't stop it. But if you play well, there are going to be constant upswings, way more upswings than there are downswings. And you're going to be a winner for the rest of your career. And in a sense, as long as you're rolled and as long as you don't get lazy and you always stay ahead of the game, you always stay ahead of the pack in terms of learning and always working on your game, that's actually a fair amount of job security, despite the more natural basic concept that it's gambling, so what happens when you lose? It's what I hear all the time whenever I tell people how much into poker I am. Well, what happens when you lose, Curtis? Well, that's why you save money. That's why you have a bankroll, because you can sustain those short-term downswings, and so that way you have money for when the upswings happen, which they will, as long as you are constantly working on your game, as long as you are not losing yourself and your mental fortitude in the process, you're going to succeed. So that's the plan with this. We're going to go week by week. We're going to, every Sunday, I believe, is when I'm going to upload new podcasts. I will discuss some hands that I play. Maybe some weeks we'll have a hand review session where I take different hands that I played throughout the week at different games and talk over what I did right, what I did wrong, whatever things I notice. I'll review that. I might discuss some concepts that I learned in terms of new poker strategy, things that I think are relevant, things that I think you need to know to be a professional poker player, and there's quite a lot. I tell people that it's not difficult. When I look back at it, it really has not been that insanely hard to get where I am in terms of my skill set. I'm not the fastest learner. I just know when I got something, I got it. But at the same time, it takes time. You do have to dedicate yourself a little bit, at least maybe a few hours a week. If you're not more than a serious rec player, to give yourself some time to really learn, but you can do it. And people make so many mistakes in live low stakes, no limit, from 1-2 to 2-5 to even 5-10. People make plenty of mistakes, and they're just waiting to give you their money, at least in the long run. They are willing to put a lot of money in without much equity, if at all, if any at all. So that's really the important thing here. So I will discuss some of those concepts. And then anything I learn in terms of life that I can relate back to poker, any experiences that I have when I play in local games here. I've got plenty of games here that I play in. If there are any games that I travel to, any expenses, ways you can save. It's always important to save money, especially when you win. I think things a lot of people do, because I've done it, and if I've done it, and I'm a super nit in terms of conservatives, like I am the cheapest bastard on earth, at least for myself. I don't buy myself shit. And I know if it happens to me that it happens to a lot of people. When people win, the fact that they have cash on hand, which this is very different from actual work where you get a paycheck every couple weeks or every week or whatever, biweekly pay, whatever it is in your case. Poker is where you're going to have cash on hand a lot. And I think the fact that you have cash physically with you makes it easier to spend, especially if it's in larger sums. So you have to have a mental fortitude in terms of a stronger mental fortitude in terms of savings, in terms of realizing that this is not money that you should necessarily be spending, at least all the time. You can always spend some. I mean, it's your fucking money. You can always plan around it, but it's always important to save and always important to make sure you're rolled all the time, because that's how you play. That's literally what gives you access to your job, you know? So that's always important. It's something that I still battle with today. I'm decent financially, I'll say that. But I'm going to be an open book. I mean, any emotional problems that come with this, if there's any, swings, I just want to make sure that I discuss it all so I can be as real as possible. So I can really show you what it takes to really become a professional. Because I know from experiences of others that it's not as easy as it sounds. And some people don't make it. But I will. I know I will. It's what I want. I want it so bad. And here I am at 25 years old, and I'm ready to really get my life on a roll. I've got so many people I know who've all gotten their shit started, but others who don't. And I definitely want to get things rolling. I want to prove it to myself, most importantly to myself, and others, that this can be done. This is a bold step. I never in my life would have thought that my career path would have been to become a professional poker player. I never would have dreamed that. Never would have made sense to me. I always wanted to get involved in collegiate athletics. That was what I thought my career path was. I loved college sports growing up. Watching Georgia Tech and Louisville was huge. It was a huge part of my life. But unfortunately, once I got to school and lots of ethical scandals happened all over the place, I realized what it was really about. So that drove me away from it and really put me into that unknown state that I was telling you about earlier in the show. And now we're here. So week to week, I'll be posting new episodes. I do hope that you listen. I always want your feedback as well. You can post any comments you have on the Facebook page that many of you are already a part of. You can post comments in the Blog Talk Radio, which is really the official website for the show. And as soon as I figure the kinks out, the YouTube channel as well, you can comment below there. And you can always send me a message. You can always use my personal channel on Facebook, my profile, I should say. Feel free to shoot me a message. Or if you have my contact info, you can always ask for it. Or if you have it already, you can use it. I am an open book, and if you ever have any questions or hands you want to talk about, whatever it is you want to discuss, let me know, because trust me, I don't want this to be a journey that I take on by myself. The interaction that I have with you all will be most important. I need the support, because this is big, and I have it from some of my closest people, but more support never hurts. I'll be posting maybe pictures from games I'm in on the social media, preferably Facebook. I'll be posting in there any hands that I maybe want to review and get some comments on. I'll definitely upload to that, so feel free to comment and or post your own hands. Do whatever the hell you want. This is interactive, open book. We're all in this, not just me. So anyway, I believe that wraps it up. I will see you all next week. Until then, I am your host, Curtis Humpstead, and I will see you all on the flip side. Have a good one. Take care.